Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the wardrobe manager of O-Rock.
Wardrobe manager. Would this be having to do with your costume for the Santa Claus game?
I think that's the only thing we can talk about. Is that all we've done this past month?
There have been a few things. Don't worry, I got some stuff on my list.
That's good, because
I got a few things.
On my end, I've been doing a few things, but the big thing was I went to a costume store, and they only had one Santa Claus costume available. It was like a half Santa Claus costume, because it's May. And apparently, they're like 10 Santa Claus costumes they keep in storage during the summer months. I didn't know this. So she said to check on Facebook, where they've got a display of all their Christmas costumes and such. So I sent that to you, and you picked one you like. And I messaged them, so I went and picked it up. And then I got home, and I had a problem getting the beard to work, because the beard kept on slipping, because it's a beard. The beard looks great, but the mustache just kept on slipping, so I don't know.
I liked some of the pictures you sent of that, where the mustache is directly like in your mouth almost.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That was pretty funny.
So I messaged Paul, and he had a couple of ideas, and I think they were okay ideas.
They were bad. No, they were bad. It's all right. We can be honest with everyone. I didn't have good suggestions.
So his suggestion was a special tape, which is actually for toupees. I don't think you knew that, but I'm like, well, I guess that's for sticking hair on your face.
I mean, it sounded like it was, it sounded like it was something for sticking hair to skin, so I thought maybe there was something there.
Yeah, and then the other thing, I would have done spirit gum, except I'm renting the beard, so I didn't want to, like, accidentally mess it up.
Oh, yeah,
but that would have been great. And you can also use spirit gum for, like, other stuff, like making fake scars on your face and stuff. It's pretty versatile.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, getting back to the beard, like, I guess my head, I can't tell if my head is small or other people just have giant heads. Because those straps had like a good 2-3 inches just from where the beard hammock. I'm not sure that's what it's called. There's a little hammock where you can put your chin. Yeah, it's like a chin hammock. It's very nice and cozy, but if I've got my chin in the chin hammock, then I've got like 2-3 inches of the beard straps just doing nothing. And so what I had to do was I got a hair tie and tied it up above my head just like a man bun with the 2-3 inches of strap. I guess you could say it's like a ponytail too, or a top knot. Mm-hmm. So it's basically what I did with the beard straps. Just pulled them as tall, high as I could above my head, and then I just tied them together with the hair tie. And that kept the beard in place so I could take the photos. I think the other adventure with taking the photos, it's strange. Two strange things. So my wife took the photos, and she didn't want to take them in order. Like, I had a list of all the various poses we had to do. And what she'd do is she'd take a look at the list and just pick three that popped out at her. And it's like, okay, we're doing these three. And then we'd do that, and she'd take another look at the list and do the next three that sort of popped out at her. I don't know why, because I thought she would just take them, in order, but no. And the other thing I have to say is she wanted extra pictures at the end. I don't know if you got a chance to look at them.
Yes.
So I explained about
your sexy poses.
Yeah. So I explained what a CG was. I'm always like, no, this is supposed to be a dating sim. We need sexy poses. I'm like, I'm not sure how. And so we have some really awkward sexy poses of like me trying to wink. Did you get a chance to see that?
Yeah, oh, I'm looking at the ones right now where you're blowing a kiss. That's very good.
Yes, and my one eye, I like the one where I'm trying to wink, but my one eye is bugging out, and the other eye is not, because I can't wink on command.
Oh, and then, I like this one I'm looking at right now. You have, like, both your hands kind of on your chest, on your beard, looking at the camera. It's like a glamour shot, almost. Or it's like you're looking at the camera like, who, me? Aw. It's
yeah,
great.
My wife said you need to sensually rub yourself. So we did a couple takes of my hand on my beard and my hand on my chest.
And oh, yeah, there's the wink. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So we're going to have some funny outtakes. I don't know if any of those will be used, but we have them. So that's...
Oh, that's fun. Yeah. Yeah, these are great.
Yeah, so that's all I have to report about taking the photos. We had a bit of a deadline because you could only rent the costume for, like, 3 days. And like I said, the first day I panicked because I couldn't get the beard in place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, it worked. It worked out really well. The pictures are great, so...
They are now great. Oh my gosh, I forgot the most important thing. I had to shave my mustache for this. I shaved my mustache for this. It's terrible.
The ways we suffer for our art, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So
has it started growing back in yet?
No. It's going to be like a couple of weeks before my mustache grows back in. Luckily, my mustache grows faster than my beard, so it should balance out. But I've already had like two friends give me grief about it. So, I actually pulled out my phone and showed her all the Santa Claus pictures, because she knew about the Santa Claus game and thought it was weird. It's like, here, check out, I've got hundreds of photos of me dressed up like Santa Claus. And she started laughing. And then later on, her husband started giving me grief. And I'm like, yeah, just ask your wife.
Amazing.
But yeah, now I've got the Abe Lincoln beard. At least I don't have hair in my mouth. It's easier to eat now, I guess.
I think your many, many hardships were, they were worth it for me, because I didn't have to shave my mustache. I think you did a great job.
Yeah.
Very, very excited to start putting these in the game. I actually just earlier today was starting to Photoshop some of the Santa characters for the opening scene. I have... two of the characters ready, and it already looks amazing. Yeah, so Michael plays the role of a saintly Santa, one of the six Santa Clauses you can date in the game. I spent my month trying to figure out how to make Secret Santa happen. So following up on our discussion last month, I did an open call on Fiverr.com looking for people. Basically, I said any age, any gender, as long as you have a Santa Claus costume, that's sort of the absolute key thing that we're looking for. And I got several responses. One of the people seemed very, very enthusiastic about the project. She's like, I already got the costume ready to go. This is going to be great. So I hired her. I paid up front because that's what Fiverr makes you do, which is a practice I'm now starting to call into question. Because when she sent in the pictures of the Secret Santa, her beard and hat were just Photoshopped on, and they were Photoshopped on really badly.
Yeah, so she did not shave her mustache for this. She did not put in the effort. She just Photoshopped it.
I could have done that myself. That was sort of the, like, I could have gotten a picture of a secret agent and put a crappy hat and beard on him. I feel like this happens with Fiverr a lot, where I put in a very detailed description of what I'm looking for, and people just don't read it, and they sent in like whatever photos they happen to have sitting on their camera at the time. So I don't know how much I want to continue using this website in the future, just because it's a huge waste of time. I did eventually get my refund, at least. I'm just bitter and annoyed. So I kind of struck out there with Secret Santa. But then I had some very good luck. I went to yard sales a couple of weeks ago.
So So you guys actually have yard sales now.
We do, yeah. I mean, it's actually, it's almost too hot for yard sales already.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, it hit 90 degrees last week. It's awful. It's not good. But yeah, at one of the yard sales, I unbelievably happened upon this absolutely perfect black trench coat that looks like something a detective would wear. It was $4, and it fit me. Long story short, I'm now playing the Secret Santa Claus.
Because you found the perfect costume.
Because I got the dang... Yeah, I already had a hat, and I happened to have a fake beard that I was able to put on top of my real beard.
You gotta hide your real beard with a fake beard. I guess that's what I did. Except I had to shave.
Yeah.
So, I kind of... ruined the effect of covering my real beard.
My beard, thankfully, did not require any shaving. It was fun. I did not have a photographer for my images, so I had to. I used my cell phone and I set it on a timer and set up like. It was kind of like what I did with Awkward Steve. I made like a fake tripod out of a chair, a bucket, and some board games. Put my phone on top of that. Yeah. It kind of took a long time because there were a bunch of poses I needed to do, and I was trying to do several images for each pose to make sure I got it right. But yeah, it all worked out. I'm actually really happy with how the pictures turned out. If you've ever wanted to date me or Michael, you'll be able to do that in our new game.
Well, it's not us. It's just we're playing characters that you can date.
It's true. It's true. And actually, I'm not sure you'll even... be able to tell that it's us.
Yeah, because I also showed your lineup of Santa photos to other people, and they didn't recognize me. My wife had to say that I'm awesome. The one in the middle. So somebody who's actually looking at me and then looking at the picture can't tell. So
that's funny.
We're safe.
See, I have I now have 4 of the 6 model photos ready to go, just waiting on 2 more, and so far so good. I'm very happy with how everything's coming together.
Oh, okay, that reminds me of something random. Yeah. I know a couple of people said we needed to do like an FMV dating sim.
Yes. Did you have a thought on that?
There actually is an FMV dating sim, right?
Oh yeah, 5 dates, is that what you're talking about?
I think I didn't know anything about it. So. Yeah. Well, I thought, didn't you have, like, the script for speed hating or something like that?
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, maybe that would be the FMV dang sim.
That's gone through several iterations at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the most recent version I came up with, it is an FMV dating game.
Oh, good.
Where
yeah.
You go to this... What was it? Like you respond to a Craigslist ad or someone responds to your Craigslist ad and you go to their house to go on miniature dates with them and their 7 identical brothers. It's just, and they're all like really short scenes, I think. It's obviously very, very strange. God, what was it? It was called Perfectly Normal Love in the Cool Dude's House.
Love in the Cool Dude's House.
Yeah. I got decently far. I mean, I think I came up with a design, overarching design and figured out who all the characters were, and I wrote, like, one of the pathways, but I think I sent it to someone, and they said it was too weird, so I stopped working on it.
Oh, okay.
So it just kind of ended there. But the obvious upshot of that sort of game would be that we only need to hire one actor for it. I think that's sort of why I was thinking along those lines.
Oh, I thought people definitely wanted the FMV dating sim so you could... I think they wanted multiple actors.
Yeah. So that would be very different. Yeah, I do want to check out 5 Dates at some point. It looks really cool. I just haven't gotten to it yet. It's on my Steam wish list.
I think you shared, like, what was it? The dating sim where you go to the school, you need to... date somebody in the school killed your father and that's why you're there, and in the meantime you fall in love and start dating people.
Oh
That but you don't know if awesome. One of them is your killer. It's like, yes. That sounds like a great premise. I want to do that. And I think I have like a similar reference to that in the Moms game, but I did that like months before I heard about the mystery dating sim. Okay, here it is. I'll quote the thing from the Moms game.
Yeah.
She says, "What if we write murder at Singles University? The most elite school in the country has one rule. No one is allowed to date ever. That's how they maintain such high grades. But when one rule breaker gets pregnant, she must kill to keep her secret."
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and so that's just a random... like, maybe that could be our FMV dating sim, which we're not working on at all. So.
No, but maybe we should be. Oh, no. Too many games. There's just too many games to make. Not enough us. And I guess that's why that someone was asking last month about what we would be able to do if we had more, if we were able to like hire people and expand our team. We'd have a little more options there. Alas.
Yeah.
Just only do so much at once. Okay. The visual novel was called Who Killed My Father Academy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so, very creative title.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was one of the games from the Itch.io Social Justice Bundle last year, and I think it was probably my favorite game in the entire set. There were like, oh man, there were hints of like a Doki Doki Panic kind of game, if you ever played that, or if our listeners ever played that. I would sort of put it in that same category.
I'm so confused. Game. I thought Doki Doki Panic, isn't it?
Oh
like,
gosh, you're right.
Doki
That's
Doki
the Mario
Panic
2
Dream
game.
Factory is the Super Mario.
You're
Super
right.
Mario Brothers
I meant
2.
Doki Doki Literature Club.
So is that about actual literature or?
It is to start.
Oh, okay. And then they stop reading like books, and it becomes a dating mon. Maybe.
Yes, and well, there is dating, and there is books.
Cool.
I would not say that that is ultimately what the game is about. It's wild, but yeah. So Who Killed My Father Academy? I think is sort of in that category, and I loved it. I love everything about that game. Okay, so other stuff with Too Many Santas. Michael and I both had little mini adventures trying to find stores where we could take photos for background images in the game. Turns out, much like with the costume shop, there aren't a lot of stores with Christmas displays open in March or May, whatever month it is right now.
Yeah, there were two in like the Oregon area, but they're both shut down. One got destroyed by the wildfires.
Yikes.
And then the other got destroyed by COVID. So,
ooh.
Yeah,
I had the experience that I went to a chain store called the Christmas Tree Shop, and there was zero Christmas anywhere in the store.
Really?
There was nothing. There was no Christmas. They had several stuff for like the next few holidays coming up, like I guess 4th of July and Memorial Day.
They really should call themselves the holiday store. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was also just like a lot of kind of just like general home goods, like kind of like a Walmart kind of store. It wasn't even just like a holiday decor store, despite the fact that it's called the Christmas Tree Shop. Anyway, that didn't work out. But last weekend, I went to a mall and I struck gold there because there was a store that was specifically selling Christmas stuff. It was a Christmas stuff themed store, and they had a big toy section. So I was able to kind of get everything in one there. I was able to get images of you know, puzzles and games and stuffed animals, but with also like Christmassy decorations on the ceiling and on the walls and in the background.
Yeah, we should say that like 90% of the game takes place in the main character's toy store.
Yes. So
occasionally they go outside, but it's right outside the toy store too. So.
Yeah. Oh, and I took lots of other pictures throughout that mall and another mall too. Oh, we now should have a pretty big image bank to work from for this, which is extremely exciting. One thing I'm starting to worry a little bit about is like, I mean the toy store backgrounds necessarily have like copyrighted toys in them. So I've been doing a little bit to try to obscure some of that. I don't want to like blur stuff out because I think that looks bad. But for example, the image I was just working on today, there is like a big shelf of board games in the front, I think. And I photoshopped in an object that I saw at a different store that was Christmas themed. It was a Christmas, like a Christmas like riding car kind of thing with a skeleton driving it, wearing a Santa hat.
Yeah, well, it feels like either that or you Photoshop the names of games like you did with Cat President.
I was thinking about that too. There was just so many.
For this
image, at least, just trying to hide the stuff was a little easier. But you know, depending on the image I'm working with, yeah, I could also like cut the stuff out and turn them into jokes. This image also had several logos for Melissa and Doug. That's a toy company, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were a bunch of Melissa and Doug signs in the store, so I just kind of removed the text and changed the color and just changed it so it said toys.
Melissa and Dog. I don't know what we would do.
Melissa and Dog. I was trying to think, like, I almost changed it to, like Michael and Katie or something like that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure if that was too similar, but whatever. You should have a message. And
I see. Yeah, that works.
That's it's very silly. I saw that at the skeleton in the truck there. I saw that at Lowe's last year, and I was like, that's amazing. I don't know what I'm going to do with this picture, but I need this picture in my life.
It feels like almost a Nightmare Before Christmas thing. I know we've had weird pictures like that before. I know there was... especially that one in Cat President where there's a bear who's fishing in the background or something.
That one, I did not Photoshop that in there.
Yeah. But just, it like totally derailed everybody. So I feel like this would be along the same lines.
Oh, should I not do it? Is it too distracting?
I don't know. I think it looks great.
And I could also too, keep the image, but not like use it in the intro sequence too, if it ends up just being too incredibly distracting for everybody.
Yeah, I don't know how many different scenes do we have in the. It's just like 90% of the game takes place there, so we could technically reuse the same like three scenes and just cycle them.
Oh yeah,
three backgrounds.
Yeah, well, I do have lots of pictures now, so I'm hoping that we'll be able to have a decent variety of backgrounds, although, like I said, for each one, I'll have to do a little bit of touching up to get rid of any background stuff that we don't really want to be in there. But, I mean, that's something I have to do with all of our games. That's not specific to this one. It's just that they're all the toys in the background are presenting a new challenge. Anyway.
Well, I mean, like, we've got the skeleton driving a Santa car. Maybe the Santa car is just going to run over somebody at some point.
Hey, it could. It's its own separate object on the screen. I could have it move.
Oh, no.
It just takes off and drives away at the end of the game. Oh, man. Yeah, this is going to distract people. It certainly distracted us.
Oh, man. That sounds like an achievement. find the skeleton Santa Claw. Car.
Well, include a secret code that if you type it in, you can drive the car around. Okay, so yeah, so that was something else we've been working on, is just trying to get photos for backgrounds. I was very concerned that we would have to wait until like the end of the year when toy stores have Christmas decorations up and take pictures then. So thankfully that did not come to pass. That's most of the updates with Too Many Santas at this time. I'm basically just kind of working on the intro segment right now, sort of getting some of the GUI stuff, the dialogue bar, the menu icon at the top right, music in the beginning, some sound effects, and I'm now just finally actually putting the Santa Clauses in the game.
All right. It feels like I also did some GUI stuff with the Oregon Trail whatever game.
Mm.
Did we talk about this last time, me figuring out how to do multiple cursors or cursor arrows?
I don't think you had figured it out yet, but you did figure it out.
Yeah, apparently RentPy does it, because RentPy is primarily for dating sims, but I guess people wanted multiple cursors in the game, and they were doing cursors because for idle animations, so they wanted to, like, an animated cursor, so, like, I guess they wanted to have the cursor be a heart if you're talking to the sexy guy, or cursor be an angry face if you're talking to the murderer, something like that.
Oh, weird. Okay.
And, anyway, I figured out how to do the GUI for that, and I'm already forgetting how I did that. I think it was either options or GUI. I'm going to pull it up right now. But
sure.
It's the same spot where you define a custom cursor. Like in Pizza Delivery Boy, You Save the World, we have a custom cursor for the entire game. It's just a slice of pizza, right?
Yes, it is.
So in the spot where you define what the cursor image is, I you basically put in put in extra cursors there. Yeah, config.mouse in the options area. And normally it's just default, but after that you can put like a comma and then do magnify or left, right, up, down. That's what I did. So there's a left cursor, a right cursor, up arrow, down arrow, basically lets your character move around. So that's how you do it. You're not stuck with the default cursor. And so
that's awesome.
What you do in the actual script is mouse, and then you have the name of which particular cursor you want to use in that area. You put that in the quotation marks.
Right, yeah, so you just add that to like the code for the hotspot or object or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You just say it's just another attribute for that thing. So
yeah,
you might have
a
piece of code.
Yeah,
hotspot, yeah. So you might have a piece of code that says what happens to the image when you hover over it, and now you can also have a piece of code that says what happens to the cursor when you hover over it. That's perfect.
Yeah, and it's sort of like you can also put an action on there. So what I do is it just jumps to a different place. So like you've got the up arrow and you click there, so it says the cursor changes to an up arrow, you know, when you've got the mouse near the top of the screen, and clicking there just moves you forward, or just jumps you to another screen where the background has changed, and so it looks like you've moved forward, basically.
Right.
You're
perfect.
A big fan. I thought you were a fan of, like, assigning hotspots and doing it manually.
I like hotspots.
Doing the hotspot rectangles, because I'm not good at that. And so what I've just got is I did the lazy thing where the top 15% of the screen is always the up, and then the bottom 15% of the screen is always down.
Oh, sure. Oh, that works,
same with
too.
Left,
yeah,
and right.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem.
But I feel like if we do the actual game, you would have to make like actual hotspots. That makes sense.
Yeah, so if like we're standing in like the middle of a pathway and there's like a trail leading forward, I might just like make a little box over the end of the trail that you can click on instead of the entire upper portion
entire
of the screen.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Be fairly simple. Cool. Well, good job figuring that out. That's awesome.
That's
should be
great,
really helpful.
Yeah. And then I've just done a little bit more with the Oregon City game. I think I got up to the first puzzle, and then I'm trying to figure out how exactly I would program this, but I'm probably going to do a lazy version of it because this isn't like the official thing. We haven't got like the official screenshot. I don't even know what resolution to pick. So
let's see what else. I had something kind of fun that I was going to talk about last month, but we actually ran out of time.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about it now. So last month, I got to be a participant in a real-life internet court. Like an actual... it was a study, so it wasn't like a real person being tried. It was part of a study with Cornell. But it was like literally what internet court is. It was all on Zoom. There was defense presenting their case, prosecutor, judge, witnesses, everything. I was a member of the jury for this. It was really wild. So I'm not allowed to talk too much about what the content of the study was, but I do want to talk a little bit about what it was like to be a member of this weird virtual jury. So there were 8 or 9 of us, I think, and we were essentially watching a pre-recorded video of a trial taking place. We all had cameras on. We were all, like, I could see all of our little Zoom icons on the right-hand side of the screen, and it was utterly fascinating to just kind of keep an eye on what everyone else was doing while we were watching this court case. Because I would say it was, like, me and, like, 3 other people that were actually paying attention the whole time. One person was very clearly lying down on a bed under covers with her eyes closed.
What?
Another person got up and just left at one point. One person was just having technical difficulties the whole time, and their screen kept going in and out. And eventually, like, by the end, her whole, like, screen, like, the lighting got all funky. So, like, her whole screen went white, basically. You could kind of see a shadow of her talking. And one person, I swear this actually happened, was not wearing pants.
This sounds like...
It was incredible.
It's basically what I expect Zoom courses to be like in college, I guess, when the people just don't care. Because I know the Zoom courses in the middle school and the elementary schools are... I don't know how the kindergarten Zoom courses are doing, but I think in, like, the middle school where the teachers actually have some control over the kids, it's a lot better. I
just couldn't believe it. Like, this was something we all, like, signed up to do. We weren't, like, chosen out of a jury pool for this. This is something, like, we all actively found out about and signed up to do ourselves. And, like, 3/4 of the people were totally checked out the entire time. It was wild. I took a few notes in case we decide to do a game, another internet court kind of game in the future. With some of the stuff that I thought was particularly funny during this.
So maybe it's just like your problems with Fiverr. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like people should know what they're getting into. They all signed up for it and all agreed, but then they just end up not putting in any effort whatsoever.
No. I mean, like, they told us, like, in advance how long it was going to be, too. They told us exactly what was expected of us, and it was still like, yeah, I'm just gonna take a nap during this, if that's okay with everyone. Yeah. And they, unfortunately, there was no, like, virtual bailiff or anything to kind of keep people in line, which might have been helpful, though they would have had to, like, pause the video they were playing, I guess, to do that. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun. If anyone's in the Ithaca, New York area, they're only looking for locals to sign up for this. But if you're in the area, I recommend looking into it. It's like the Cornell Law Legal Lab, something like that. I think they're still running studies. So quick plug for that, because I thought, like, I actually had a lot of fun with the actual, like, being a member of a jury part of it. I thought it was really cool, very kind of enlightening experience for me, since I've never been in a real jury before. It was cool.
It feels like something that got mentioned a bit in internet court reviews. People were expecting some sort of jury, and it's like, that would involve way more characters, which is probably the main reason we didn't do that.
Well, we had the idea, too. We were trying to make work for a little bit of having, like, a fake chat going on, like,
oh,
in a
yeah,
Twitch
yeah.
stream. Would have been kind of cool, but it was going to be an immense amount of work to make that happen. So it ended up getting cut. Would have been kind of interesting. Yeah, I don't know how we would do a jury, because the thing with the way we make these games too is that, like, it's not like entirely like a Zoom call. Like, people have played the game by now. You're not, like, seeing videos of every single person in the court at the same time. You're only seeing the video of the person who's talking. Everyone else is sort of represented by an avatar that's like a picture of them. You're not, like, seeing people's physical reactions as we're watching people give testimony. So we kind of lose a bit there if we wanted to have, like, jury interaction, for example. Like, I don't know how that would really fit into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Although I guess that would be a way to add a little layer to the gameplay, is that you're you're not just trying to convince the judge, you're also trying to convince all these individual jury members to give the verdict that you want. And then maybe each case, it's like you could win or you could lose based on whether the jury is convinced or not. It might be kind of interesting. But again, a lot more work than we were able to put into this game.
I feel like, I know Phoenix Wright versus Professor Layton sort of toyed with that idea of a jury.
Right.
I don't know if the great Ace Attorney did, but you recently replayed through all the Phoenix Wright games, or you just did some of them?
So my plan was to replay what I at least at the time had thought of as the Apollo Justice trilogy. So the old Apollo Justice game that came out in the DS, and then the two newer games, Dual Destinies and Spirit of Justice. And I have to be honest, the Apollo Justice game was great. I enjoyed it so much more now than I did when it originally came out, and I was annoyed at it not being a real Phoenix Wright game.
Well, they did Phoenix dirty in that game, but I feel like if they didn't have Phoenix Wright in that game, it would still be like pretty beloved, or it'd be way more popular than it actually is.
I think I would have like been into it from the jump if it didn't do all of these horrible things to poor Phoenix.
But it's
because that's what bothered me.
It's got a lot of good overarching story. It's got interesting characters and stuff. It's basically Phoenix Wright with a different protagonist.
Yeah, I mean, the writing's great. Most of the puzzles are okay. Some of the stuff is a little... I actually really don't like Apollo's... maybe I've talked about this before. I don't really like Apollo's special ability where you have to see people's like little nervous ticks. Yeah. I find that really annoying. It takes me forever, and I never feel particularly satisfied when I do it. I just find that really frustrating. I like Athena's thing a lot better, actually, where in the other games where you have to like... notice that people's emotions don't match what they're saying. I think that has a little more like depth to it. The Apollo things are just like, just scanning a person's face looking for twitches, and
it's
takes forever.
It's pixel hunting, and
yeah.
It would be better. Well, also part of the problem with Apollo's thing is like the pixel twitching only takes place over like say three words of the sentence.
Yes. Yes.
Which just makes it all the worse, because you don't know which words are the ones you're looking for.
And in some cases, you don't know which piece of testimony either. So you might have, like, four pieces of testimony. You have to pick which one you think the person's going to twitch in, and then you have to find the specific line of, like, three or four lines that they're twitching in, and then find the spot where they're twitching. It's horrible. But yeah, my overall takeaway was that, I mean, the writing in that game, which is one of the things I love most about the series, was just as good, just as polished as the original trilogy. And I was
because I think they had the original.
Surprised.
I don't know if they had like the original localization team, but definitely the original author of the Phoenix Wright trilogy.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tell it's the same author, because games 5 and 6 are written by different people, and you can tell, hey, this is a totally different author, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we made the joke like when those games first came out was that they felt like they were like translated or localized by the intern, and playing it again, it still feels like that. Like it feels like it was almost like Google translated, right? Like that someone just did a very rote translation. They didn't have someone editing it that like was trying to make it sound like it was, you know, natural written English. It's a huge departure from the other four games. Just the writing by itself, not the story. The story, I got the impression that the story was probably fine, but I was just so bored by the utter mundanity of the way it was written that I stopped like halfway through that Spirit of Justice Dual Destinies, just because it was so achingly dull, so bad.
Yeah, I also feel like Dual Destiny is sort of, I guess, crippled itself by having case 4 and 5 be the same case, sort of. There's not enough difference between the two of them to work, and I'm not sure that story was good enough to be two cases.
Also, it took me until this playthrough to realize one person's Apollo, the other person's Athena, both Greek names, or Greek gods or whatever. Yeah, I did not realize that before. anyway.
Yeah. Well, that was the hardest that the localizers worked on. Was
oh, my God. And I didn't even get to friggin' Spirit of Justice and the terrible, terrible names that they gave everybody in that one. Utterly inscrutable puns that they came up with for every character's name. Well, I'll be your guide with a bunch of weird apostrophes in it. That guy.
Yeah, that's our apostrophe ball. So that's horrible. Oh, that's probably supposed to be that's horrible. Yeah.
Oh, it just makes me so sad. I'm just, I've already, like a fool, I've already pre-ordered the great Ace Attorney for Switch. Please, I hope that they put more. They got their best people working on the localization this time, because it was just no good.
Well, I mean, I feel like they sort of hit a brick wall when it came to the prosecutor for Dual Destinies, who's this very specific type of samurai, which is not commonly known.
Oh, and is that the one, too, where, like, I don't think I got to that case, or maybe that was Spirit of Justice, but there's a case in one of those games where, like, the big reveal is, like, you thought it was this type of noodles, but it's actually a different type of noodles.
Yeah,
aha!
It's udon noodles, and, oh, gosh. Yep, that was the throwaway case in Spirit of Justice, case number three.
It. Yeah, I mean, I they're probably responding to fan criticism with that. Like, that's sort of the way fandom is trending, is that they want things to be as close to the original as possible, right? Like, they want it to be the authentic game that the original writers created. And, I mean, I guess this is what happens.
I don't know. It feels like, because I know, like, in the original trilogy, Maya's, like, noodle fetish was turned into a burger fetish. But I feel like Apollo Justice was able to do that, because there's, like, a noodle case. Noodles are, like, big on the second case of Apollo Justice.
Yeah.
But they were still able to have noodles and have it localized and make sense. Like, it didn't come across as a super uber Japanese thing.
Yeah. I don't know. It would have been worth whatever they paid whoever did the first four games to get them to do it again. That person, that team, whoever, they need them back. Yeah, because it really, like, that's what I was saying. I was thinking of the three games initially as a trilogy. It's really, like, Apollo Justice, Ace Attorney is its own thing, and then there's these other two bad games afterwards. and also, Athena Sykes has no character. I'm sorry. I went into this game thinking, like, okay, I'm giving all these new people a chance. This is going to be great. And she has no introduction. Her introduction is like, okay, and here's Athena, and she's going to do legal stuff. And, like, that's it. We don't know who this person is. I guess we probably learn at some point, but it was just, like, so wild to me.
Yeah,
the way that she had utterly
child.
No intro.
Yeah.
Utterly no intro. But her game mechanic was cool, so that helped a little.
I'm trying to figure out what on earth happened with that, the case in Spirit of Justice.
The noodles case?
The noodles case is Bucky Wet, because he makes, it's about soba shops, and then it's the soba shop is the victim, and he was giving stuff for a yosei, which is a theater for performing Rakugo. It's like, which is just so heavily Japanese, I don't even know what those things are. I don't know.
See, they could have localized it to be, like, an improv troupe or something.
They could have.
But I guess, yeah, then people,
tried.
Like, then there's different views on what people want from these games, because there have been a lot of criticism about Ace Attorney for localizing everything to be about California. They don't like that. They want it to be authentic. But when they do these authentic translations, it's inscrutable. I don't know. I was looking through my tweets to try to, like, remind myself of what I thought about these games when they originally came out. And apparently, this checks out. I think I really enjoyed the Goofy Ramen case, but it was just because I was so baffled the entire time. I was like, nothing here makes any sense. This is so weird. This is so dumb. The twist is insane, and I think I enjoyed it because of that. And the rest of the game was just kind of dull. And... yeah. Oh, don't even get me started on the Kingdom of Kurain.
Oh man.
I still don't know what that is.
Okay, so I've got it. So Bucky Wet, apparently his name is supposed to be Buckwheat, which obviously is used to make soba. Obviously, we knew that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Whereas his Japanese game is, his Japanese name is, what is this? Susuru, which means slurp, and then his last name is
that's pretty good.
Uchitate, which means freshly kneaded. And I guess that totally makes sense if you work at the noodle store and making dough. Slurp?
Why didn't they name him Slurp in this version?
Like, Slurp Need would have been so... That actually would have been
good.
A great name. That's just... Yeah, gosh. Let's not use the actual, like, literal pun and make a worse pun that doesn't make any sense. I was going to say, I think The Great Ace Attorney was actually written by the same person who wrote the first four Phoenix Wright games.
Yeah, so but maybe, who did the translation?
Maybe, yeah.
See, that's the key. I don't know. We're going to see. I'm almost certainly going to play it anyway, but I think if I see a lot of reviews that talk about how bad the writing is, I might just cancel the pre-order in frustration. But I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I'm so angry right now. I can't believe you did this to me.
I'm so sorry. Let's get to the listener question.
I repeatedly fell asleep while trying to replay Dual Destinies. I just couldn't. I tried so hard. All right. So we have a listener question this month. This is from Timothy Mark, submitted in our Discord channel, which is a thing that exists. We're using it to record right now. Timothy asked, have you ever had any major creative disputes, and how did you resolve them? I've been thinking this question over. I haven't really come up with any good answers. Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
No. I feel like... Oh gosh, we can't talk about the thing we've been going back and forth on for the past
No.
But there's like a 2 to 3 page script that we were doing writing and rewriting, and I think what happens is eventually one of us just decides it's not worth it and stops trying. You stop trying to add Friends references to the script or something like that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, I think we have a pretty good rhythm with our revisions, because I feel like you send some stuff in, I make some changes, you make some changes, goes back and forth. But we get to a point where, like, if you make a change on something and I don't think the change is like what I'm interested in, I don't just revert the change. I try to come up with a different idea on top of that, because if you're changing it, that means you didn't really like the original idea all that much. So I think we're pretty good in that respect. Like, we're usually not that pushy about things. We're like, okay, you didn't like that. I'll try a different approach then.
Yeah, I was going to say, with the Santa Claus game, you said we were basically just rewriting each other's jokes about murdering Santa Claus or something.
No, it's fun. But I think what you just said is absolutely correct. I think we're both pretty good about saying, you know, whichever one of us feels the strongest about this, we'll go with what that person says. And I think that usually works out really well.
Yeah.
We neither of us like really push too hard for any specific thing. Like, if the other person doesn't like it, there's probably a reason for it, and it probably doesn't work.
I mean, it's also, yeah, if we've got a script that's like 100 pages long, then like one particular line in the script generally is not worth like having a huge fight over.
It's true. Yeah. So major creative disputes, I honestly don't think so. Yeah, I think we've been pretty good about that. And Timothy also had a bonus question for us. What's your favorite comedy game that you didn't make?
Oh my gosh, I was trying to think. Yeah, I don't know. I know somebody like tweeted at you today with a thread about adventure games.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
reading through the
yeah,
comments
that was pretty interesting.
And what people thought are good in adventure games or what they hate about modern adventure games. And I saw some comment saying that comedy just doesn't work in current adventure games. They said all, like, the major adventure game studios tried it, and their comedy games failed. And I'm like, what comedy game adventure games were there recently that have failed?
Huh.
I don't know.
Specifically failed, but, like, what was it? Daedalic had the Deponia games not too long ago, and those were actually... I mean, those were successful enough that they made four of them, so...
Yeah, it also feels like it also depends on what your sense of humor is, too.
Sure.
So I feel like with a lot of the older adventure games, like, if you don't like the jokes in, say, Monkey Island 1, it really kind of ruins the game. And I could see that happening with, like a modern point-and-click adventure game. I don't know. It's tough because, you know, we sort of had to strike this balance with the pizza delivery boy who saved the world. Like, if our main character is telling jokes at the expense of everyone and everything that happens, it's hard for that to be the case and have our main character not be just a huge jerk.
Yeah, that was something we put, like, a specific effort into when we were putting that together. We're like, all right, let's make this guy, like, not super snarky most of the time, until, like, the very end when he gets fired from his job and he totally snaps. Then he becomes Mr. Snarkmaster. But up until then, he's a very kind of sincere character. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like more of the adventure games, it's, I guess, more of the, I don't know, I've only seen, like, really grim, I guess, humor. I think the biggest adventure games I've seen recently are just, they're all, like, R-rated adventure games, and that's not really my type, so I don't like playing them, but that's a completely different type of humor, too. Oh, yeah, Life is Strange is, like, the biggest, most recent adventure game, I think, right?
I love Life is Strange.
Oh, yeah. No, it's super popular. Everybody likes it. Mm. Oh, gosh, that was 2015, though. They've been making more, though, right?
They have. So there was both a prequel and a sequel to Life is Strange. And the company Don't Nod has made a few other games that have come out recently. Lizzo and I just finished playing a game called Tell Me Why, about a pair of twins. They're like 20-something woman and her trans brother. And sort of the hook of this game is that they have special twin powers they can use to communicate with each other and look into each other's memories and stuff like that. It's actually really cool, but also quite sad, as is becoming Don't Nod's trademark as of late. It's just
uh-oh.
I remember I complained about that with Life is Strange 2. Well, I guess not complained, but it was. I think I talked about how oppressively sad the game was. And Tell Me Why has a little bit of that, but it's not quite as bad. Anyway, yeah, they made a lot of games. so comedy games. What comedy games do you like, Michael?
Oh gosh, I'm trying to remember the two games. Gosh, Royal Trouble and Royal Trouble 2. Those were pretty funny games. It's like this prince and princess, and they're sort of snarking at each other the whole time, and I thought it was funny. I toyed around with doing that for the Oregon Trail game. So it would be that the husband and his wife are basically talking to each other and she'd be on the phone and, you know, he'd call her for help and she'd snark at him. But that totally didn't end up in the game.
So my answer would be the classic LucasArts games. Definitely Monkey Island, though specifically Curse has always been my favorite. Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max. That's sort of the obvious Paul answer for that. More recently, Michael, have you played Jackbox at all?
Oh, yeah, that is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I played the one, the Fibulator, yes. The Fib one.
Fibbage, yeah, Fibbage.
Fibbage, yeah, I played that. That was funny.
But yeah, I would say those games are funny in themselves, but I think the real humor just comes from, like, the weird answers and things like that, and drawings and whatever that people come up with. I think those are super funny. And the other game I wrote down is one that I don't think anyone here is going to know what I'm talking about. Either you, definitely not you, Michael, or anyone that's listening. There's this game on PlayStation 3 called Pain. So dumb. It's a game where... You launch people into a city with a giant slingshot, and you try to cause as much havoc and destruction in the city with that person's body as you can. So you'll try to aim high and launch up into the air and have them like grab onto a helicopter blade, which will put the helicopter off balance. You let go, you'll go smashing into the side of a building. You'll fall down, knock a bunch of crates over, set off some fireworks that'll blow up other things around you. You're basically trying to cause destruction and cause pain to your character. Like you can grab the underside of a car and get dragged around by it, stuff like that, and you keep going until your character no longer has enough momentum to keep moving. It's an absolutely just wild game. I don't even know if you can still play it anymore because it's on PS3, but that's a game that was like one of my go-to party games for a very long time. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Argelfunf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oilrock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our games specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oilrock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
I just remembered a sort of sad story. I guess it's not that sad, but this past month, my family members made fun of me for having the Super Lawyer 64 t-shirt that has my picture on it. So, at least I don't walk around with a t-shirt with my face on it that says I'm a lawyer when I'm not. But I don't normally wear that shirt. It's just been hanging in my closet for years. It's not like I wear it every Friday or something.
You should tell them that I have that shirt, too, and I do wear it.
Yeah, I was saving it in case I had to re-record stuff, so I guess now I could move it to the wear everyday shirt pile, I suppose.
Oh, it's a great shirt. As soon as we get our merch store set up, that'll be the first thing in there.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. A story will be told. Go!
Dead Santa.